Today I want to take us on a journey of transformation through the power of God's truth, inspired by the verse we find in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Well, the scripture invites us to dwell on the things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. I think if we're honest, we struggle to do that at times. The pressures of the world, the things that we see on the news, the things that perhaps are going on in our own family. It's easy for us to be distracted and to fall into the trap of thinking the way that the world thinks. But the world doesn't know better than God, and the world can't instruct us better than God. So if God's world tells us to fix our minds on the things above, that's really what we need to be doing. Today I want us to think about the profound passage that we encounter here in Philippians and discover how when we embrace the truths that we discover here, God can really renew our minds and transform our lives. He can change us from the inside out. Renew us, restore us, help us in our daily walk with him. The first point, dwell on truth and honour. The Apostle Paul urges the Philippians to fix their thoughts on what is true and honourable. And truth is the foundation of our Christian faith. We can dwell on it in all different aspects. There's many different perspectives that come as we read the Bible, as we study the word of God for ourselves. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus is making an exclusive and profound statement about himself. He is the only way. The modern world doesn't like that. The modern world will even dispute with us the fact that God exists. Oh, it's all random chance. Random chance that ourselves would come and form and, oh, it's all random. It's all a product of evolution. Yet the Bible teaches us clearly that we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. That's the truth that we're meant to believe. When we look at the intricacies of the universe, of our own functions as a human being, we know that we are the product of something, someone far superior than ourselves. I don't know how many of you have studied about DNA and how it is like a fantastic double helix. And there are so many different things that our DNA is able to do. And without our DNA, we would not exist. And God created that. Didn't come about by a random chance, didn't come about by random amino acids in a pool of goop millions and millions of years ago. God designed every aspect of us. And he is unique. And he declares that he is God and that we should worship no one besides him. And just as Jesus tells us he is the only way, that is still true today. 2,000 years after he spoke those words, he is still the only way of reconciliation, the only voice of truth that we can listen to. And Jesus is central to our faith. The truth of who Jesus was and is central to our faith because it's his life, his death, and his resurrection that open the door for us to reconnect with God. That is the truth of the gospel. That is the message that we believe. That is what has brought us from darkness into his marvelous light, has saved us from our sins, and assured us of a place in heaven. When we trust in the truth of who Jesus is, we're saved. The world can't offer us an alternative way of salvation. The world can't offer us anything more important than the truth of who Jesus is. It's the foundation, the bedrock, the firm foundation of our faith. When we spend time and think about God's word, we can align our minds with God's eternal principles. The word that's translated as true signifies that it's genuine, that it's real, that it doesn't contain any falsehood or deception. The world will attempt to deceive us with theories, but we have truth. Truth that's undeniable. When we've come to that position where we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us and helps illuminate our mind to understand truth for what it really is. Our eyes have been opened. We've been set free. We should rejoice, shouldn't we? We're no longer in darkness. We now walk in God's marvellous light. It's true. Jesus is real. He is the Saviour. And the word honourable, it denotes that which is dignified, that which is worthy of respect. And perhaps we as Christians in the 21st century don't show as much respect for God's word as we should. Perhaps we allow ourselves to be distracted by the things of the world. Perhaps we allow far too many grey areas and say things like, well, that's just a matter of interpretation. God's word is God's word. We need to read it for what it is. Everything that we need to know has been revealed to us in Scripture. Yet, we seem to want Jesus and something else many times. But the word of God is all that we need. And when we fix our thoughts on the truth of God's word, when we honour God's word in our lives, when we cultivate what it tells us to do, when we cultivate by spending time reading, studying, attempting to dig a little bit deeper, maybe the reverence will return in our lives. Maybe we'll respect God more. Maybe we'll be more thankful and rejoicing over what God has done to set us free from the burden of our sins. John 8, verse 32 says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How many of us know the truth this morning? We've been set free, haven't we? The burden of our sin has been removed, and we are redeemed. We're saved. We're set free because we've trusted in the truth of who Jesus is. And there's a liberating power in that truth, friends. Jesus teaches that knowing the truth, particularly this truth, leads to freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from falsehood, freedom from spiritual bondage. When we know the truth, it's transformative. It breaks chains. It opens the way to genuine liberation in Christ. We can live and walk in freedom because of what he has done. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart." Why this proverb? Well, it highlights the importance of cultivating virtues such as loyalty and kindness. Loyalty to God, loyalty to his word, kindness to one another. These qualities are not just external acts. They're not just works. They are attitudes that we need to embrace. Our heart needs to be committed to God's truth, to loving God, and to serving him and others. And when we internalize that truth, it shapes our character, it influences our relationships, it changes the way that we operate every single day of our lives. The truth transforms, the truth changes, the truth sets free. But we need to do what point two says, which is embrace righteousness and purity. Paul encourages believers to focus on what's right and pure. And righteousness reflects really conformity to God's moral law. But purity entails moral integrity, holiness. God has commanded us to be holy because he is holy. Doesn't command us to be perfect, because none of us can be perfect. That's why we needed Christ to die for us. He is the perfection that we could never achieve. But that shouldn't stop us from trying to be holy. And the righteousness aspect, God's moral law, we know there are certain things that are right and certain things that are wrong in God's sight. And if God has told us or commanded us of us that something is wrong and we should stay away from it, then that's still a truth that we need to adhere to today. There are certain commandments that have never been revoked. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. None of those commands has ever been revoked. And maybe in the 21st century, you know, we don't really need to worry about coveting our neighbour's donkey so much. But say your neighbour drives a Lamborghini. Your neighbour's got a nice donkey, okay. Or whatever makes you happy. Just don't cover it. You know. Again, you know, we think about the commandments and we have to, some of them we put in the context of the time, but some of them we need to recontextualise for today, don't we? But the fundamental truth that underlines them remains the same. God first, and think about the impact and effect that you have on others by your actions. We're meant to love each other. We're meant to love those who are lost. We are meant to care for those who are suffering, mourning, weeping. We are meant to be active for God. I wonder how many of us actually do what God expects of us. Again, none of us are meant to be perfect, but all of us should be trying to do what God has called us to do. As followers of Christ, our thoughts should align with God's standards. Should align with God's standard of righteousness, should align with God's standard of purity. The term right, it emphasizes actions that are aligned with what God has said. Pure, moral, spiritual cleanliness, free from defilement. None of us should deliberately choose to sin. Yes, there are times when thoughts come. Yes, there are times when we stumble. Yes, there are times when we fall far away from what God would expect of us. His grace remains. His mercy remains. The opportunity to repent and return to him remains. We need to focus on him. We need to trust him. Matthew 5:8, God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Jesus is speaking here about the blessedness of a pure heart. The integrity, I suppose, that is behind a pure heart, the sincerity before God. We should have a desire, really, to honour God in all the things that we do, in all the things that we say. Yet our actions, our conversation can fall short, can't they? Those of you that have ever done any DIY or put up a picture on the wall with a nail and a hammer, I'm sure that when you miss the nail and hit your hammer, the first thing in your mind wasn't, thank you, God, for allowing me to experience this pain. Yet there are things that happen in our lives that will cause us pain. We will encounter suffering. Anyone who told you that when you come to Christ, everything is fantastic and, oh, everywhere you go is going to smell like vanilla, they were lying. We still experience hurt. We still experience pain. We still inflict pain upon ourselves and others by our actions or our inactions. Our motivation needs to be right. Our motivation needs to be aligned with God. And are those times when perhaps we use God's name in the wrong way, or we don't honour God as we should, or those times when we should speak up and say something and we don't, we need to be more open to allowing God to work in us and through us. If we're honouring him in all things, that would suggest that we tell other people about him. That when people look at us, they should see something of Christ reflected out from us. If he's changing us from the inside out, that should be apparent in some shape or form. But I think often we stifle it. We don't want to appear weird. We don't want to appear different. We want to put on the camouflage and blend in. That's not something that we're called to do. We're called to be beacons on hills. We're called to be bringers of light. We're called to be the salt of the earth. We're called to be those that bring change by the power of God. But we can't do it in our own strength. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, how can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. Let's paraphrase it. How can an older person stay pure? By obeying his word. It's all about his word. Not about us, not about our thoughts, not about our opinions, not about our desires. It's all about his word. We can have a purity of heart when we follow his word. And this quote from Psalm 119, it emphasizes the role of obedience to God to enable us to maintain that purity. By aligning our lives with God's truth, by aligning our lives with God's commandments, we can experience a cleansing and a transformation as God works in us and through us by the power of his word. Third point, meditate on loveliness and admirable traits. Paul exhorts believers to think about things that are lovely and admirable. So that would include focusing on things like beauty, kindness, virtues that reflect the character of God. And by filling our minds with things that are lovely and admirable in God's sight, we can cultivate a spirit within us that's positive. We can have a spirit of gratitude. We can be thankful even in the midst of the most difficult situation, because our mind is fixed on Christ. Our mind is fixed on God. There is nothing lovelier than God. At the start of the service, I spoke about how the northern lights have appeared in the sky, but the beauty of those pale in comparison to the beauty that we will behold when we see our Lord face to face. Nothing in this world compares to the beauty, the majesty, the glory of our God. I remember looking at my newborn grandson and marvelling at just how beautiful I thought he was. Fearfully and wonderfully made, just as you and I are. And God, I think, looks at us with that same level of love. Actually, he looks at us with a much greater level of love, doesn't he? Because his love is perfect. Our love is tainted. Our imperfections stop us from having perfect love. But God has perfect love for his creation. And that's why he desires that none should perish. And he provides an opportunity for everyone to turn and trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. I mean, when you think about it, for the last 2,000 years, God has been very patient, waiting for people to come to him. And yes, he's coming. And yes, he will come like a thief in the night. And yes, we don't know when that will be. But what we do know is we've been told to tell others about his kindness, his mercy and his grace, and how they can be saved before he returns. So by filling our minds with things that are admirable, things that are true, we can be thankful that God has not finished his work yet in saving and redeeming the lost. We can be thankful that there's still an opportunity for us to go and share the truth of the gospel with someone before he comes again. We can be thankful that God has given us the words, has given us his spirit, has enabled us to actually live in a country where we can share the truth of the gospel without fear of being locked up or shot because of our faith. Yeah, I think in the West we're complacent over the freedom that we've been given to actually share the truth of the gospel. And this country needs missionaries just as much as any other country in the world. This street outside the church needs to hear the message of truth. The people walking by outside, they need their minds to be filled with that which is pure and true and holy. They need their minds to be filled with a love for Christ as their Lord and their Saviour. How often do you think about your relationship with God? How often do you think about, are you walking with the Lord as you should? Do you look at another Christian and think, oh, well, I wish I was like them? About 8 years ago, I mentioned this in a sermon, and I spoke about Dave Berrington. And I said, I look at Dave and I see that he can play the guitar and he knows the gospel and he seems to have a wide friendship group, and I would love to be able to do some of the things that he does. But then I said, but I don't know what's going on in his life. I don't know what he's facing. I don't know what happens when he walks outside this door. And he may desire to have a life that's more like mine or yours, because I don't know what's going on. And yet we can look at another Christian. We can look at the great men or women of faith. We can look at the Puritans who seem to be able to walk so closely with God in the midst of so much adversity and wish that we were more like them. But God has made you, you. He's made me, me. And he's promised that his grace is sufficient for us in whatever circumstance we may find ourselves. Isn't that a wonderful truth? He cares about the very specific details. He loves us so much that he cares. And maybe we should love others so much that we care too. We can enrich our lives. We can enrich our relationships. We can live lives which inspire others to come to Christ by just living the truth of his word. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." I wonder, if I gave you a pen and paper and asked you to write down, not so that anyone else could see it, but just so that you would have a record of some of the things that God has forgiven you for just this last week, how many pages would you need? Would it just be one sheet of A4, or would you need an entire exercise book? Every day God is forgiving us. Every day God is loving us. Every day he is helping to shape us, to sanctify us, to purify us, to make us ready for heaven. And quite often, even though God has forgiven us, we find it hard to forgive ourselves. We find it hard to move on. The sin's been dealt with. The situation is resolved. It's in the past, yet we'll still focus on it today. But God, out of his kindness, God, out of his compassion, God, out of his mercy and forgiveness, says that he remembers our sins no more. Isn't that wonderful? There's a transformative impact when we allow God's grace to change us, when we allow God to work in us and through us, when we allow God to be God, things happen. Philippians 2 verse 3, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. There's an important truth here, friends. We need to have a heart that's grounded in God's truth. We need to be humble. The modern world tells you, oh no, you don't want to be humble, you want to be loud, you want to be visible, you want to be the influencers. But God's word says be humble. There's an element of service in that. There's an element of being obedient to the word of God. There's a challenge, really, to be Christ-centered in everything that we do and value others above ourselves. There's an element here of living in harmony with God's priorities, living in harmony with God's principles, trusting him and allowing him to transform us from the inside out. So how do we apply what we've heard? Collectively, these passages that we've looked at really highlight the transformative power of truth, God's truth in our lives. It should lead us closer to Christ. It should help us to remain free, because we've been set free once forever when we came to Jesus as Lord and Saviour. These truths should help shape our character, should help purify our heart, should help guide our conduct and our relationships with others, and more importantly, our relationship with God. And friends, we need to embrace this truth. We need to live it out every day. It is something that's central to the Christian walk. It's essential for us experiencing the abundant life in Christ that Christ died to enable us to experience. So as I conclude the sermon this morning, let me encourage you, let me challenge you to commit to having your mind renewed on a daily basis by focusing on what is true, honourable, pure, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. May that be our deliberate practice every single day of our lives. May we attempt to live in a way that brings honour and glory to God. May our actions, our attitudes, and our words reflect the character of Christ to those around us. So how do we do that? Well, we actually need to set aside some time each day, some time to spend reading the Word of God, to thinking about what it says, to explore God's truth, God's virtues for ourselves. But also, let's encourage one another. Let's encourage each other to embrace and exemplify these attributes that God has called us to, so that we can really be beacons of light, so that we can be beacons of hope, proclaiming the truth of who Christ is and speaking truth into a world that needs to be saved. It's interesting, on the news this morning, there was far more about the controversy that's taken place in the Eurovision Song Contest than any of the conflicts that are currently happening in the world. The world is more focused on singers who may have been upset by things that were said or done, rather than the mass death that is being inflicted as man fights against man. The perspective of the world is skewed. Our perspective must be on God, because then our heart will be aligned to what he says is priority, to what he says is right. So friends, my final challenge to you is, honour God and bless others. May his spirit lead us and guide us as we live according to his word. May we set our minds on heavenly things, but may we seek to reach the lost while we're still here on earth. May God continue to transform us and change us, and may he reflect his glory in all that we do. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you are the King of Kings, you are the Lord of Lords, and that, Lord, you have given us your word, and you call us to live according to your truth and your precepts. I ask that you would renew our minds, Lord, that you would continue to work in us and through us to transform us and change us, make us fit for heaven. But Lord, also give us those opportunities to share something of your love, your mercy and your grace in a lost and sinful world. And Lord, for the conflicts that are taking place right now, for the situations, circumstances in so many different lands, I pray that you would be sovereign, and that, Lord, that you would move, and that even through these difficult times, that there would be many that would turn to you and trust in you as Lord and Saviour. That it wouldn't just be our minds that are transformed, but theirs also. Lord, we thank you that your arm is not short. We thank you, Lord, that your power is sufficient, that you are able to move. You can just speak a word and situations can change. So, Lord, will you do that in the world right now? And in our own lives, Lord, I pray that you would speak that word of healing, that word of wholeness, that word of transformation over every heart that is here today. Thank you, Lord, that you are able. Thank you, Lord, that Lord, you can perform miracles, that, Lord, you are in the business of miracles. So change us, transform us, align us to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.